Let us take a moment to pray before we ponder God's word. Let's pray together. Our Almighty God, you are our ever-present help in times of trouble. And we ask that you would speak to us now as we gather round your word. May your presence be peace to us, your promises fuel faith in us, and your purpose be fulfilled in us, today and always. Amen. Do you like to celebrate? Do you like to celebrate? I know that some of our Boys Brigade company were recently victorious, not only at the cross-country competition, here's a picture of the winning team, but here last night, they took first and third place in the national master team competition in the first round. And so first place team will go on to the next round. So let's give them a wee round of applause. But if you were victorious like these boys, how would you celebrate your victory? I wonder if you might turn to your neighbour and just for 30 seconds, share what comes to mind. How would you celebrate your victory? It might not be a master team competition. I would fail terribly at that. But how would you celebrate your victory? Over to you for 30 seconds. Wow, it sounds like there's lots of ideas out there. It would be interesting to see what you come up with. Maybe you would strike a pose like Usain Bolt. Maybe you would throw a little party, or if you can do the floss, which I can't do, maybe you do the floss. Maybe you put something on social media, you know, like if you've got access to that. For thousands of years, people have celebrated victory. Whether it be in a quiz, a cross competition, the original Olympics in ancient Greece, or even victory in war. Of course, some celebration over the end of war is good and justified. Like after the World Wars, when people flocked to the streets and celebrated. And hopefully such scenes will be shared by the people of Ukraine, for example, when with our continued help and the help of other nations, they are victorious over the evil and prideful war they have been subjected to. However, history is full of examples where expansionist dictators have celebrated their victories as well. A history we do not want repeated in our day, whatever the conflict. One such example was the Roman Empire, which Jesus and the early church were all too familiar with. For when Rome won a conflict, especially as it expanded its borders and subjugated a new people or country, the Roman victors would take captives. They would take those captives back home to their home cities and parade them behind the winning general and his army. It was, of course, symbolic. It showed who was strong and who was weak. It displayed a confidence in Rome, a superiority, a pride. And with all this, it reinforced a particular view. A view, as one leader put it, on the cusp of war in the 20th century, that is that mere primitive doctrine that might is right. You see, Rome believed itself to be right because it had the might, it had the power to win. And to win was to rule. This was the philosophy, the worldview, the common understanding of the day and what it meant to be victorious and to be a conqueror. And it gave you the right to take captives and to celebrate over them by mocking them and deriding them in that day. And all too sadly, such a principle still exists in our day that might is right. But in our first reading, Paul said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. We are more than the prideful, denigrating, evil ways of this world. We are more because of who we are through Jesus. We are people who belong to God and to his kingdom now and forever. We are reconciled to our Heavenly Father and fear no condemnation. And so we have hope, we have security. We have a confidence, and this confidence is not of ourselves and it is not in ourselves. This hope, this security can also never be taken from us. For as Paul goes on to say, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing, nothing in all creation can separate us from our hope and our security. In a world seemingly tearing itself apart and reverting to age-old doctrines, we need not be fearful, but can have faith. A faith that enables us to live out the victory of Jesus, but in a different way, adopting a different posture to the world. That instead of a posture of boasting or trampling others down, we instead seek the best for others by pursuing peacemaking, by pursuing reconciliation and forgiving, by praying for peace and even loving our neighbor or enemy. And this not need be restrained to other nations or to conflicts that seem so far away. We can live this here and now, in our own families, in our own communities, amongst our own family of nations. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to reconcile with? Who do you need to pray for their best? Because in Jesus, we are more than conquerors, and we are to live differently. But the basis for having such hope, the basis of living this different way of life, is also shared by Paul in that very same verse, where he said, "In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Through him who loved us. Through Jesus who gave his life for us. Through Jesus who died, who laid down his life in service of others, even for his enemy. This is the basis of our hope, of our confidence. It is the basis of our faith over fear, that Jesus died for love of you and love of me. His victory came through his own sacrifice. It appeared weak to the people of the day. They mocked him, as we read of those Roman soldiers gathered around him in the praetorium. They got down and mocked him because here was a people claiming that this man was God, and yet they had power over him. They dominated him. They abused him. And they killed him. It seemed that God was weak. And so they mocked him. And today that sacrifice is still mocked. But that sacrifice changed one heart, one life at a time. And it happened even on the day of his death. For as we read in Mark's gospel, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." The centurion, the professional soldier, the man of war, good at it, trusted, reliable, promoted. But this man of war who said, "Surely this man," as he saw how this man died in weakness for love of others, he said, "Surely this man, not Caesar, not any of the other pantheon of Roman gods, no, this man is surely God come in human flesh. This man is the Son of God." And in that moment, a heart was changed. the kingdom of God broke into his life. And I imagine he went on from that time. And as he heard about the ways of Jesus, he started to perform his duties, his profession in a different manner. I imagine he still served in the army, but he served differently now. He integrated the ways of Jesus into his duties. And in that way, he lived like many of our women and men in the armed forces today who live out their faith in such contexts. But crucially, a heart was changed that day because of the sacrifice of Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross. And he continues to change hearts, even today, all across the world. Not only by his example, but by his presence in our lives. Because Jesus, friends, didn't stay dead. He wasn't simply buried in an unmarked grave. He wasn't simply another casualty of war. He wasn't a victim overpowered by the mighty victor of Rome. No, Jesus rose from the grave and is alive even now. For he is the true and ultimate victor. And yet he doesn't rub our faces in. He doesn't denigrate us. He doesn't stand proudly over us. But he draws alongside with that still, quiet voice that we spoke of today, even now, and he calls to your heart and mine and says, come to me. Put your trust in me. Follow my way of self-sacrifice for the betterment of others. So this day we remember. We remember those affected by war, who have felt trampled and denigrated by the mighty and proud. Yet we remember too those who have given their lives in service of others to secure a better tomorrow and win a celebration for all to share in. But Jesus is our ultimate example, the perfect example, for he is the perfect victor. And with faith in him, we need not fear, for we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. And in him, we celebrate. And so to him be all glory, now and forevermore. Amen.